like you lost another one.
Educated Ignorance Podcast, back here in your life. There's a release date here. Beautiful night here. Recording here on this Tuesday, March 8th. This should come out probably tonight, maybe even tomorrow morning on Wednesday. Special guests coming around the corner. We'll get to it here in a moment. But a big week ahead, a big few weeks ahead. It is Champ Week. Multiple conference champions have been crowned. We're gonna touch a lot of that. A huge week coming ahead for us with today's guest, as well as some other stuff. Blake will be on. We're gonna record that tonight. That'll be out. Expect that on Thursday. But coming up next will be Kendrick Prince of works with the Dispatch, does some Illinois, works with Illinois different like media and blogging and stuff like that. We're going to talk to him and get some thoughts on the Big Ten tournament and Illinois as a whole. A bit fun stuff. Watching them on Sunday was stressful, and yeah, that was fun. Been a good weekend. This is my favorite time of year, man. So. Ready to bat down the hatches. Been watching some college games. Went and saw Batman over the weekend. Seen it twice. I went Saturday and then I went again on Monday. God, it's good. It's so good. I kind of want to do a review of something, some sorts. I think Blake and I might touch on it a little bit. And in our pod that we were going to drop Thursday, but we're going to record tonight. So I'm sure at some point we're going to just novelty drop right into talking about Batman. But, man, it was so good. Forever Team Edward, if you know, you know. Just going to leave it at that. But, yeah, so Ked's coming on. So thankful for him. Some quick, cross some T's, dot some I's moments here. Follow the gang everywhere. You know, follow us at FFSQC on Twitter. Follow me at Joe the Show QCSN on Twitter, as well as Joe the Show 365. We'll have Ked on. He's gonna print out, promote all of his stuff. So we'll be good. So this will be fun. Cannot wait. We're gonna talk. Ked and I are gonna talk Illinois basketball. We'll probably talk some Big Ten Player of the Year, Big Ten, you know, first team, all conference team stuff. But then, obviously, the big thing, we're going to dive headfirst into the Big Ten tournament here. So this will be glad. I'm so happy for him to come on the show. This is going to be fun. Let's get it rolling, people. All right, this is exciting. Shout out to DJ Jarvis, by the way, for putting this all together. But my man, Kendrick Prince, I met you once, I think. Yeah, I remember. It was in Pekin. I'm sure you might remember this. It was when Moline played down there for a sectional title, and we both. That was the first time I ever saw EJ Liddell live, his junior year at Belleville, and you were sitting press row about 10 feet to my left. I remember Quanzo Martin was in the building that day down in Dottie Hawkins. That was the first and I think only time we met in person. But Kendrick Prince, a recruiting analyst for IlliniGuys.com, also does some writing for the Dispatch Argus. My man, I'm so happy for you to be on. Thank you so much for joining us. How you been, my friend?
Oh, man, thanks for having me. Shoot, man, what a great introduction. I appreciate it. Thank you. And I do remember that, actually. I do remember being down there in Pekin.
Yeah, that was the first time I saw EJ Liddell live, and instantly he's been forever one of my favorite players to watch. Obviously, we'll mention him. We're going to talk a lot about the Big Ten tournament coming up this week, my favorite time of the year. I mean, it's been kind of ramping up. I've make jokes all the NFL stuff that happened today, and I'm so once like the Super Bowl ended. I don't know if it was because the extra week or whatever, but once the Super Bowl ended, all of my focus just turned right to basketball with college hoops and the NBA and stuff. I got so distant from football so quick, and now we're here right in the right in the middle of March and getting ready to roll. Let's start with obviously today big news with the Big Ten Player of the Year and the Big Ten. Coach of the Year, all conference teams and stuff. I'm just going to ask a general question first. Were there any surprises for you when it came to all conference teams, Player of the Year, Coach of the Year? I don't know if they named like Newcomer of the Year or Defensive Player of the Year, stuff like that yet, but were there any big surprises or big omissions you saw initially from the first teams that got released today?
Yeah, to answer your question, and I really, really want people who are listening to this to really listen to what I have to say. And I'm being really, I'm being objective about this. I'm not going to be a homer because I put up for the University of Illinois, but I was very disappointed. I'm going to start with the top for Coach of the Year. No disrespect to Greg Gard. Wisconsin was picked to finish 10th in the Big Ten. I get that. I understand that. And they had a great season. They end up tying Illinois for co-Big Ten champs, which I think is remarkable. You only have to play the teams in front of you. But if you look at the two teams, compare the schedules, Illinois did not get to play Nebraska twice. They didn't play Penn State twice. You know, they didn't get to play Minnesota twice. Well, Wisconsin got to play those teams twice. So my frustration with the Coach of the Year award, it really should have went to Brad Underwood just based off the schedule for number one. Number two, this guy has had so many injuries. Now, granted, Illinois was not supposed to win the Big Ten. People had them pegged second behind Purdue, which, you know, granted, it's only one spot. But Brad Underwood has had more conference wins than any coach in the Big Ten in the last 3 years. Still can't get Coach of the Year award. And I just don't understand. I mean, it's almost to the point where I think it's kind of personal because he's done a remarkable job. When you miss Kofi Coburn in the first, you know, first 3 games of the season, you lose to Marquette, who ended up being a great team, a good team, who would probably be in the tournament. You know, Illinois wins with Kofi. Then you lose, you know, a preseason All-American point guard, Andre Cabello. You lose Jacob Grandison. I mean, just on and on and on. Injuries are part of the game. But this guy was able, with a tough schedule, to sustain it and win the conference. That one surprised me, and I'm just very upset about the Player of the Year award. I think people have now taken Kofi for granted. They just expect Kofi to get a double-double, and I'm not okay with that. Because at the end of the day, here's what I would say to all those people who didn't name him first, you know, the Player of the Year. If you're opposing coach, who would you rather not guard? Would you rather not, you know, would you rather guard, you know, Johnny Davis, or would you rather guard Kofi Coburn? Because nobody's been able to do it. Kofi, even on a bad day, I remember one game, he put up 18 and 16. And somebody called it a bad game for him. And that's why I think people take him for what he's done for granted. Uh-huh. And Johnny Davis, who averaged 7 points a game last year, goes to 20. Oh, he's the new guy, so he's the flashy guy. I mean, you look at the numbers when he played against Illinois, Johnny Davis, 5 for 19. I just think Kofi really, really got screwed, and it's too bad because, like I said to you, I think people just take what he's done for granted and, you know, the way people guard him, and it's tough. But those are the two I think that, you know, disappointed me. I was surprised to see Trent on the second team. That was impressive. That was a huge surprise to me.
A lot of coaches, I mean, that goes to a lot of coaches really respect Trent, man. I mean, you hear coaches, I mean, Tom Izzo, you hear a lot of coaches throughout the entire season. My friend Tanner and I, we always talk about how, like, it seems like national media people, like, think, like, the biggest, you know, talking heads that talk college basketball, other than, like, Rothstein when he tweets stuff about Illinois, it feels like Illinois basketball games, like, don't exist. It's so weird. I don't get it.
Here, let me help you with that. I'm not going to say the national guy's name, but I'm going to tell you a story because you're 100% right, and I'm going to tell you you should pat yourself on the back for that statement. About 3 years ago, I was down, I was walking through the media room, and there was a national media guy talking to the University of Illinois athletic director, Josh Whitman. And I just happened to be walking by, and I heard this national guy, they, of all people, to the athletic director, your fan base was crazy. You would think, I mean, these people act like Illinois is the blue blood and that they're some powerhouse, and I don't know what they're seeing. And I thought, why on earth are you telling – you're basically telling the athletic director the Illinois fans shouldn't expect them to be good in basketball when it's clearly they dominated in basketball in the early 80s and 90s and Final Fours. But you're telling the athletic director that the fans are crazy because their expectations are too high. And I thought that was silly. So having said that, a lot of national guys do think that way about Illinois. I think the reason Dwight Trent got second team All-Big Ten was because of what Tom Izzo said. Tom Izzo was the guy that came out publicly yes. and stuff like Trent and the other people because they overlook him. I mean, and it's easy to do that. And I just think it's unfair. Then I don't know what the national media, you know, has against Illinois, but they can't say that it's not true because let's face it, you look at what they've done, like I said, the last 3 or 4 years, Brad Underwood should not only be Big Ten Coach of the Year, but, you know, maybe National Coach of the Year one of these times.
Yeah, I think he would have an argument. The Coach of the Year stuff, I do get the – I understand the Brad Underwood. I mean, with Brad, I wasn't super upset about the Greg Gard thing because I do get it to an extent of, like,
yep,
you know, they were picked to win – they were picked to be 10th in the league. I even thought, like, I didn't expect them to do much. I made a tweet early in the year. I think it was right after they beat Purdue. Or no, I think it was they beat Purdue, and then, like, a week later they played Ohio State at home, and, like, it was ugly. They handled them real well.
Right.
I was like, who would have thought Wisconsin graduated all of their, like, bad 6th-year, 5th-year seniors outside of, like, Davidson? And now all these good players get more playing time, like Johnny Davis yeah. and Wall, and Chucky Hepburn comes in. So I was like, you know, that's a thing. That's it. Good to see. But you know, I understand it. I do the player of the year thing. I said right before we went on, I said there is a question I'm going to ask you. I think you're going to like this. And I tweeted this. I hate that I made this statement literally right before the Ohio State game, because if there was a worst game that he had this year, and honestly, a game for Illinois this year that really just made my blood boil, it was the Ohio State game. Kofi was like, what, 5 for 15 or something, and it was all on layups. He wasn't great. The obviously the officiating was all over the place. Brad got tossed. We couldn't hit free throws. There was like a 15 minute stretch of game time where it felt like we died or something. It was so weird. But I said right before that game, I said, or they were talking, I think it was in the first part, they're talking about the player of the year race. I said, why Johnny Davis over Kofi, but not Io over Luka Garza?
Thank you.
What's the difference?
Exactly. I was thinking about that when you asked me about doing the podcast. I'm like, I wonder if they're going to ask you about player of the year, because you know what? Io won every award possible last year, but they gave it to Luka Garza.
He even won a – didn't yes. Io win USA Today player of the year, if I'm not yes. mistaken? Okay.
Yeah. And that's what's weird. It's like you see this, but and that's what – this is what's mind-boggling, and it's hard to figure out. And then some people – get really mad at Illinois fans and say they're crying. Well, they're giving facts. I mean, you know, these are factual things that happen and you see happening all the time. Because you know what? I mean, if you ask Brad Underwood, if he's at a press conference, if you ask him, you know, what are your thoughts on winning, you know, not winning Coach of the Year? Oh, that's for you guys to decide. But at the end of the day, he's competitive. That stuff matters to him. He wants to know that he's doing his job and he's succeeding and what his peers think. So it does matter to them. But at the end of the day, you know what? If teams aren't going to vote you and do things for you, then you on the hard, you have a chance on a hardwood court to prove them all wrong.
Yeah, I feel like, man, I mean, we're going to get to the majority of the Big Ten tournament and other teams in the league here in a minute, but man, if they can pull this off this weekend, and there's a couple roadblocks that could be there that I'm a little, you know, worried about or interested in when it comes to who they could play or could run into. But man, if they could go from, you know, Big Ten tournament champs last year to regular season conference champs this year, and then a repeating with the tournament champs again, man, that would be, you got to think that would finally kind of, it would be validating, right?
It would be. But I'll tell you what, I'm not for sure, but from what I've gauged from talking to some of the media members, we all feel the same way. I don't really know, because Brad told us, Underwood told us last week, he felt that he put so much pressure on winning that Big Ten tournament. Not that they lost sight of the NCAA tournament, but it wasn't a priority, if that makes sense. I think going to this week, I don't want to say that they don't care, but I think they're focused. They won a Big Ten tournament title last year, like you said, and they won a conference tournament, a full season this year. I think the next step for him is to advance far in the tournament. And I think you're going to see a lot of focus on that. I don't know what to expect from them this Friday. I mean, someone made the comment to me yesterday, you know, is Jacob Grandison going to play Friday?
I'd be shocked if he did.
I wouldn't care if he played, because at the end of the day, you're going to need him for the tournament. You're going to need him NCAA tournament, because what happens with teams like Illinois right now and Purdue, most of these, if you listen to the selection committees after, the brackets are released, probably 80% of the time or 90% of the time, they'll tell you the top three or four seeds are pretty much set. They already know where they're going to go. Like, Illinois was the number one seed last year, allegedly, but they already won the tournament. And then when you ask the selection committee, they were like, yeah, well, they were number one seed because of what they had already done. So some of this, for teams like Indiana, yeah, that stuff's matter. But like Purdue and Illinois, and I think maybe Iowa, Ohio, I don't know if it's really going to matter, to be honest with you. It matters for awards, but I don't know if it's going to matter for seeding.
I think some stuff, I do think that there is certain, where teams get placed. I think maybe if we would have lost to Ohio State, we would have been the fourth one instead of the third. Little stuff like that, I think it's tinkered a little bit, depending on if you end up actually, winning the conference tournament compared, et cetera, et cetera. But no, you're right. And obviously that Big Ten tournament, they played, oh my God, we played so well. Outside of the first 10 minutes of the second half against Ohio State, and even still, we weren't playing bad. Dwayne Washington just went nuclear. That 3 days was amazing. That end of the season stretch last year from when Iowa went down until they got bounced was just bliss.
That was their best basketball, I think, of the whole season. And they were just clicking. And the one guy who was a big part of that was Curbelo.
Yes.
He made them click. I mean, this is why everybody thought he was going to be that guy coming into the preseason, because he just, you couldn't tell Iowa was gone last year during that stretch. But that was a great run. It was fun. They were competitive. They were good. Illinois was loaded. And they still are. Every team, a lot of teams have weaknesses as far as shooting, no big man, no guards, whatever. Illinois has it. Whether they put it together or not, I don't know, but they have it.
So I want to mention, from matchups that they could see if we, in the NCAA tournament real quick, with who they could play. Now, I've said this recently, and granted, maybe it's because we're so used to now, all of a sudden, it's crazy to think that we're used to playing so well and how good we've been for the last few years. I've gone on record saying since, that the game where we upset that Cassius Winston Michigan State team, that when Iowa hit that three, since that moment, we've been the best team in the Big Ten from that moment till now. So maybe with everything, when we don't play well against Ohio State, or when we play when it looks like we don't want to play against Penn State, that stuff is so infuriating because I know how good we are. So I've said I'm worried if we do get a certain matchup in a 5-12 or a 4-13. Now, if we can get to the three line, I think we would dodge any strays that could come our way with a bad matchup. I think there's a couple matchups out there that could be bad. I'm worried about a team like Vermont. I'm really worried if they seed South Dakota State too low, because those guys can light it up. Outside of that, those are two of the teams I'm really interested in. If Illinois does get them, where I would be like, okay, this is going to be tough. It's going to be tough regardless, but do you think, because I feel like there's a bit of a blueprint to give us some issues. We struggled at guarding the pick and roll lately, it seems, for the last month or so, ever since that Michigan State game. Teams have been kind of killing us in the pick and roll, and that's bugging me a bit. Offensively, we're good, but then there's some lulls. So when you play an underseeded, a lower seeded team like that, that's where you can kind of be susceptible to get bounced. What do you think about that?
Well, that's a very good observation on your part about the pick and roll, but I'm going to tell you another concern that I've noticed, and I think Ohio State started it. I saw Penn State do it, and I saw Iowa try it. They're starting to post up guys like Trent Frazier and Alfonso Plumlee. That's a huge concern for me, because if you have a healthy Jacob Granison, RJ Melendez, and Coleman Hawkins, that probably doesn't happen. So to me right now, that's a concern for me. The pick and roll, you go back to the Michigan State game, they just shot the lights out. That happens. And you're exactly right, though, because in a tournament, you only have to be hot. You only have to be good for one game. That's all you have to be. I don't think they'll take anybody for granted because that Loyola loss stung to them. People are still talking about that to them. It was an embarrassment. I don't think they'll take anybody for granted. But the one thing I don't want to have happen, and I'll be honest with you, I don't want them to get a 4 seed. I would like them to avoid a number one seed around the Sweet 16 time. I like to avoid that because I think they deserve a 3 seed. Whether that happens or not, I don't know. Looking at like what you and I have been talking about this whole time, the lack of respect, but I think they're better. You know, why would you give Wisconsin a 3 seed? You know, or why would Purdue get one? I mean, I'm really sorry. I get the fact that, you know, Purdue had early wins, but Illinois has great quiet wins, and Purdue finished third in the Big Ten, and Illinois finished tied first. So I would think they deserve a 3 seed. I don't want to see them slide down to a 4. I don't think they'll get to a 5.
No.
But I think those matchups will matter. I was on a podcast last night for some other people, and I'll tell you, if I looked at a team that was scaring me just in the tournament again, I've said it, and I'm not going to change. I just think Arizona has it. I just think they're a tough matchup, and for anybody,
they're huge. They're so big. They're
tons of them.
On my pod with my new weekly thing. Now that I'm doing on the pod is NBA stuff weekly. Now that you know we're really into the full swing of stuff. Now that my high school basketball coverage is over, I can get back to doing weekly pods again on the reg. So Blake and I were talking. He asked me, you know, who do I think the two teams would be to win a title? I said, or who would I say? I said, gun to my head, the two teams I would pick right now over almost anybody, and this was last Tuesday, was Arizona and Kentucky, just because of how much of a mismatch problem Arizona is, and Kentucky's been beating teams like there's games they're winning without Xavier Wheeler and Ty Washington. Like, that's nuts, you know?
Yes, it is.
So, like, those are the two teams I would ride with right now. I would also put Auburn in there, though sometimes they have the issue of, like, why are you just not giving Jabari Smith the ball? That's my biggest thing. I don't know about Gonzaga. My biggest thing with them is, like, can they hang with it? Will they not get blitzed again by a team that's overly athletic? That's why I wouldn't be too worried if we played them with Illinois, because I feel like the athleticism and the stuff like that I feel like could be an issue. Now, granted, Holmgren is a much different beast than what we would have saw last year. Because last year, I thought we would win. No homerism or anything. I picked us to go to the Final Four and win the title and beat Gonzaga. Just because I thought we would have been a mismatch issue for them. They didn't have anybody to guard Kofi. We would have been able to use pace and athleticism to really give them issues, just like Baylor did. This year, I don't know. Holmgren's a difference maker. But you're right. I do think, though, for Illinois seed-wise, initially when I had those takes, they were kind of hunting the 4-5 line. The Ohio State loss made me think, man, they could fall to a 5. I think now there's no way they fall outside of the there's no way they fall to anything worse than, like, the top 4 seed. I think Purdue, Wisconsin, and Illinois will all be around the 2-4 line. I don't think Illinois has a chance to get to the 2 line. If Purdue wins the Big Ten tournament, I'd be shocked if they were. They'll probably be on the 2 line.
Correct.
They'll probably be on the 2 line regardless. If Wisconsin wins the Big Ten tournament, they would probably be on the 2 line instead of Purdue. But I do think Illinois has a chance to pretty much lock themselves in with a 3 seed, which is good because then you can avoid some of those tough matchups. But you mentioned Arizona. I think they'd be a tough matchup. If we get like a 3 and then you get to the second weekend, you'd be looking at like a Duke, a Kansas. Though I think Duke is extremely susceptible to getting clipped by the right 7 or 10 seed.
My thing with Duke, with Coach K, I don't want any part of that because you know what? You know, I feel different about officials, but one thing I don't want to see is them give him a gift to get to the Final Four. I would rather play anybody. I'd rather play Auburn or anybody other than Duke. Because you're right. I don't think they're a great team, but I think in the tournament, I think they want to give him that swan song. I mean, think about it. He got his own day Saturday for college basketball. So to me, I don't want any part of Duke this year. Any other time, wouldn't bother.
Yeah, they could have used that kind of treatment though on Saturday when they were getting whacked in the second half. That's for sure.
Yeah,
they were getting it taken to them. Who are some other? We talked about the. Matchups potentially, it's all these other teams. Big Ten wise, let's move to here. I want to first start with, I would say, the dark horse pick in this Big Ten tournament. I think it's Iowa. because they've been playing so well. I'm still kind of I still almost can't believe that we ended up winning Sunday. Like, it doesn't make sense, but we did. Thank God for it. Iowa fans would, if I was an Iowa fan, I would probably not have slept, considering the amount of times you had the chance to win with just solely at the free throw line, and you left all those points there on that floor.
Yep.
I feel like they would be the dark horse. They would probably love to get Illinois again. Not that Illinois, it's a super big matchup advantage, one or the other. I think Illinois definitely could beat Iowa if they played a third time, but I think Iowa's definitely in a spot where, I mean, you win that first game, you're playing Rutgers. Now, granted, Rutgers has been good, and they're a giant killer, but that's, with Iowa playing good, that's a great game for them on that Friday. What are your thoughts? Am I crazy here? I know we both respect what the Murrays have done and how good they are. I think that they're kind of the dark horse team in the Big Ten tournament this weekend.
I'm going to pick two dark horses, and I'm going to pick a 1 and 1A. You're right, it's Iowa. Iowa, to me, is dangerous, not because, you know, of what they did Sunday. This is Fran's probably best coaching job. I mean, I really think it is. This year they're playing defense, and they haven't done that in the past. They take pride in it. And I think they've done it in the past, but I don't think they have the players to do it. Now, Fran, if you look at that roster, he has some athletes on their roster.
Yep.
He doesn't have a bunch of guys that can't move. You know, like Luka Garza, no disrespect to him. He was a great offensive player. But defensively, I thought he was a liability. I think they're tough enough. They shoot well enough. The Murray twins are going to be a nightmare for anybody. What sold me on Iowa was when they went to Ohio State and won, because Ohio State is my other dark horse. I don't like Ohio State, but they are tough mentally. I know they've lost games, and they don't have a lot of size. But if you just watch the Buckeyes, they defend, they're strong, they're aggressive, they get in your face, kind of like a lot like Wisconsin. But, you know, Wisconsin wouldn't be a dark horse. I think Iowa has the potential to win the whole tournament. A lot of people think that, and not just you and I. And I've not heard Ohio State. As much as that loss was against Illinois the other night, a couple weeks ago, I have to give them credit. I just think it's really, really tough, you know, because they're a tough matchup. And actually, I think that, you know, I'm not going to say the Illinois player's name, but one of the Illinois players told me off record that's the one team that they struggle matching up with is Ohio State. And it's kind of noticeable, you know, so I get that part. But Iowa scares me, and I just, you know, I don't know if they're going to advance, because Fran doesn't have a good history of that. But I'm not one to criticize coaches, because sometimes it's matchups and catching teams at the right time. You know, you go back to Loyola. They couldn't miss against Illinois, took Illinois out of everything, and then the very next game they peed on their legs. And
oh, my I'll God. Say,
you just got to be good for one game, man. One game is all you got to be in the tournament.
Yeah, and that was crazy. It was so frustrating watching them just absolutely get barnstormed by Oregon State. I was like, oh, are you kidding me?
Yes, because I thought Iowa would have won. I mean, without a doubt, I really thought so. I thought they were a better team, but they couldn't miss either. So that's why I said to you, you get the right matchup. And a lot of times, you know, I don't want to take this angle, but a lot of times it's the officiating. If in a tournament, if you're not making baskets, this is one of the things I like about Coach Underwood. He's always said this to all of us. You're going to have days where you don't shoot well. And that just happens. But if you can defend, you're going to give yourself a chance. Mm-hmm. You have teams who typically don't play defense, you're going to struggle. And this is why I think this year the Big Ten is going to do well. I don't know why. They've had a rough pass in the tournament. They've had some Final Fours. You know, people, I like, they haven't been to the Final Four in years. Wisconsin had a good run. Michigan had a good run. I just think this is the year where I don't think they are going to get bounced right away. I think they're as good as some of the other teams in the country this time.
It seems that way, right? It seems like they have better high-end talent. I mean, you look at that Iowa team. You're right. With Fran and what they got at Iowa, they've got a much different team. Like, there's a reason they got doused in kerosene last year by Oregon. They didn't have the quickness. They didn't have the dudes to match up against a team like that, and Oregon lit them on fire. You know, and when it came to us, now granted, I thought we were a good defensive team last year at times, but You hit the nail on the head. You're going to miss shots, and why we lost to Loyola was because we couldn't guard any of their sets. They were hitting shots. Yep. They, you know, they were running those different elbow plays. They would slip guys. They, you know, they made Kofi have to run the track meet with Krutwig, and he couldn't do it. That type of stuff happens, you know. That would, you know, it is what it is. But it's, there's a lot of, I think you have teams like Purdue who I think definitely are, that they, Purdue is the type of team that screams, I'm losing to a 15 seed in round one because they are so horrendous on defense.
Yes,
but
sir.
But their offense is literally, I am like a luminous rays coming off the sun and I will scorch you for 40 points in 10 minutes. That's how good they are on that end. So I wouldn't be shocked if either thing happens. Like, if Purdue won the whole thing, I wouldn't be shocked. But if they lose to, like, Long Beach State in the first round, I'm going to be like, okay, I can see why it happened, because they do not care about guarding teams. But you look at, like, a Wisconsin, they have higher-end players. Even, like, a Michigan, if they get in, we're going to touch on them here in a moment. They have a guy like Dickinson. They got they're better. I know I've made jokes about, like, Diabate and 22, Caleb Houston, like their 4- and 5-star guys. I've made jokes about that all year. They're playing better right now. So, like, they have higher-end talent guys that can go and play well. Obviously, the Murray twins for Iowa with Kofi this year with Illinois. And we've been in that experience now. You know, I think the fact that last year's team didn't get the chance because of COVID, the shutdown, they didn't get the chance to run through the ropes of the tournament. So last year, maybe they didn't exactly know what it took. I think that's going to be a benefit for this year's team in the tournament. Ohio State with Liddell and Branham, all those things. I think you're right. I do feel like there's a better chance for the tournament, the Big Ten, to go to have some representation in the second weekend instead of everyone getting clipped in the second round like last year. It was sad.
Well, you know what? If you really think about it, I mean, there's probably, I think, maybe 8 awards came out today. I'm talking national and All-American teams. The Big Ten had 3 of the 5. Mm-hmm. So think about it. That's why I think from a talent standpoint, it's time. You have 3 guys from one conference make first-team All-American. I don't know the last time that's happened. I mean, you had Murray, you had Davis, and you had Kofi. So to me, this is the time when they can do something, you know. Hopefully they do. And, you know, it's tough for a lot of Big Ten fans, a lot of fans all across the country, root for other teams in the non-conference. I really do, especially now, you know, when I'm not covering Illinois, I do root for other schools in the Big Ten because I obviously cover those schools, because it's been a while since 2000, and it's like Tom Izzo said, it's not from lack of talent. You know, the coaches know and understand. You got to be hot at the right time, which I've said a number of times now. You know, it's not about them being better, because I remember those runs that Wisconsin had when, you know, and going to the Final Fours. I mean, you just needed one break to go your way, and it didn't happen. Not that those teams were much better, because they weren't.
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying. It's totally viable for those things. Let's look more into this tournament. I'm just going to ask some questions and some quick hitters. I want your takes.
Mm-hmm.
Rutgers. We talked about the dark horses. Is Rutgers a dog? Like, are they a live dog in this thing? Like, do they have a shot to get to the semifinal? Do they have a chance to get to that final game? Do they have a chance to play on Sunday? Is there any chance at all for them?
I will never say never. It's college basketball. But right, I don't think they have enough firepower, because they're not at Jersey Mike's Arena anymore.
We ain't at the rack, baby. We're not at the rack.
Do I think they're good enough to compete? I think they can play, and I think they play well. They match up well with some teams, and Illinois is one of those teams. They play Illinois well. I just don't think they'll have enough to go through the whole tournament on a neutral court to beat all those teams, is my thought. So that's my quick take with that one.
Okay. Michigan State, if they lose to Maryland, in your mind, I don't know how deep you have gone into, you know, the bubble and stuff. I know their win against Maryland Sunday was impressive, and that kind of kept them away from disaster. But do you think if they lose on Friday, there's any worry about enough bid stealers maybe ruining them to get into the tournament or falling, like, to the first four?
No, I see them get. I mean, people. Me too. I've not heard anybody talk about them. You know, they did well in, you know, early on in the season. Yeah. Then they hit a stretch. But I will tell you this, I don't expect them to do anything in the tournament. They don't. Everybody needs that alpha dog, that go-to guy. Michigan State doesn't have it.
They don't have a bucket getter.
No, and Tom Izzo said that. I love their style of play. They're fun to watch. I am not going to advance them very far at all just because of their reason. You have to have guys that you can go to. And all the top teams that you and I have talked about so far, they have that. Michigan State doesn't have that this year.
No, you're right. It's the truth, and I've said it all year. It's like they don't score enough to, like, when I look at just, like, even when Illinois is playing a team, I'm like, all right, how are these teams going to be able – what are the things that they would have to do to make me worried about us actually getting beat by them? Can they score enough to keep up with our pace, our scoring efficiency offensively, and do they have anyone to stop Kofi? It's why when we played Wisconsin, I wasn't worried at all. I was like, they have no one to stop Kofi. I don't care if they score 80 on one end. Kofi's going to have 40, and he had 37. Yep. Like, you know, Purdue, why they give me worry? Obviously, I saw them live. I was at the game on MLK Day, which was chef's kiss basketball. That was sensational.
Yep.
Saw them live. It's like, all right, when they are dialed in, they're dialed in. They can score 90. You know, a team like Ohio State, obviously they can. You know, they've got the guys that can score. They aren't great defensively, but they have different stylistic matchups that can give us fits. And you said it with Michigan State. They just don't have the attributes offensively. You know,
no, I don't see it. Not this year. I don't, and I don't. And I mean, I think Tom's on his way out in a couple of years. And I mean, I know they're recruiting, but they're not getting the guys that they did 10, 15 years ago or even 5 years ago. So I'm not that they're bad, but I think he's on his way out.
Yeah, that's interesting. I don't know. I haven't really thought that much into it, but, you know, it wouldn't be shocked. I'm obviously the finish line is way closer for him than the starting line was. So next question here. We just mentioned Rutgers. I'm going to ask you this. Do they have to win? Actually, let me rephrase it. Do you think they can get in even if they lose on Friday? Like, do you think Rutgers, they're safely enough in the field even if they lose on Friday after the double bye?
No, I think they need to win. You know, we talked about how the committee kind of has their mind made up with certain teams. I think a team like Rutgers needs to win, but if you really, and it's only because of their overall record, because there was a stretch, which I don't remember all the teams, well, they beat four ranked Big Ten teams in a row. Mm-hmm. That's good. I mean, that's impressive enough to alone, and also playing in the Big Ten Conference to get you in the tournament. But I think they have so many losses. I think one win in the Big Ten tournament would be good. And, you know, they finished, you know, fourth, so that's going to be in their favor. I think they just need one more win.
Yeah, one win would kind of lock them in. I think if they lose Friday, if it's Iowa and they lose Friday, man, they are going to be sweating because there could, like, you're one or two, you're like a Butler or a St. John's rattling off the Big East title like Georgetown last year, or mm-hmm. like Washington winning the Pac-12, or like Dayton winning the Atlantic 10 to, like, get them in, because a lot of people think Davidson and VCU are going to get in. Stuff like that happening, that is exactly – like Rutgers, teams like Rutgers, Michigan, Indiana, they're glad more – like, they dodged their first bullet, which was Morehead State losing to Murray State last Saturday, because Murray State mm-hmm. was in the field. But Morehead State losing, that was bid-stealer territory, and that was their first bullet dodged. But yeah, you're right. If Rutgers loses, then I think they're going to be sweating for a few days. Michigan, Indiana. I think it's loser leaves town. What do you think? What do you think?
I know so. I have to agree wholeheartedly with you. Both of those teams are that they struggle, but and it's really weird that they're 8-9 teams, but those teams. But Michigan has been playing well as of late. They had a lot of games down the stretch. But if you look at a tournament team out of those two teams, you got to take Michigan.
Yeah.
They just seem more, you know, they have more quality wins or kind of quad wins, excuse me. And I think they have more upside. I think Indiana, I just don't think they have it. I mean, and they could play and beat Michigan and they could beat Illinois. You know, that's just luck of the draw in the tournament. But I just don't think Indiana has enough. I would definitely take Michigan. They're on the mission, and they're going to get their coach back. I think that's going to play a part in it because he gets to coach again. So I don't know. I think they're going to be playing with a chip on their shoulder. I know, and I know he'll be coaching like it.
Yeah, I think that that's who we're going to play Friday. When I get off, I'm going to work for 2 hours on not even like an hour and a half on Friday, then coming home to watch some hoops. I think when I get home, I'm going to be watching us in Michigan. But I do think that the loser of that game, I don't think there's a chance that they get in. Unless they have maybe Michigan if everything goes right, but even still, I doubt that's really tough. And then, let's see. Okay. If you had to pick one team from Wednesday that could get to Friday, who would it be? Is it
Nebraska?
Is it Nebraska by a landslide?
It's Nebraska. I mean, let's put this in perspective. They were in last place. They went to the first place team on the road on senior day and won. They have some talent, and they played on one close. They've had a lot of close games, yeah. And their record indicates that. Yes, that's scary. And I remember back probably 20 years ago, Illinois was the last seed in the tournament, and they went all the way to the championship game. That's been done before, and maybe Nebraska is going to be playing with that chip. Obviously, they have enough talent to win against the top teams. So, I would say Nebraska. I think I would a month ago if you'd asked me this, I probably would have said Northwestern, just because. I mean, I think they have guys that can shoot it, and they're with Nance, and I think their guards guard the perimeter very well. But I have to go Nebraska.
Yeah, they're playing real well, and. They get – who are they missing in the Wisconsin game? They had someone out, right, with an injury?
Nebraska?
Yeah. Am I crazy there? I know they had one player get tossed or something.
Yeah. He got tossed early in the second half, I believe. I forget which kid it was because he – a lot of people didn't think – I was kind of torn, and I need to answer your question. There was a flagrant two. He was going to block the shot, and it looked like it was malicious. Then I think he realized he had done it. But yeah, both teams were missing a player in the second half because Davis was hurt too.
Yeah, no, you're right. I remember Davis went down, but I was just thinking from Nebraska, I like some of their pieces. I think McGowan is a good player. Obviously, Verge is a guy that can do some stuff for them. They're bad, but they're not like horrendous, and they're playing well right now. So
yeah, everybody's 0-0 right now.
Yep, exactly. So like, if they lost, I would be shocked if they lost to Northwestern. If they win that game and then on Thursday give Iowa like a scare, I won't be shocked whatsoever. I will not be surprised at all. I feel like if it wasn't for the Nebraska run, we probably both would have said Penn State just because of their style of play. Because they literally just try to put the game in an they put the game in a blender and try to make it so slow and stuff, and it's obviously hard to make teams play to a faster pace and whatnot, but they guard well and they got some guys that can make shots, and they've beaten some good teams this year. Obviously they almost won at Wisconsin. They gave us they made our lives miserable last week. They beat Iowa. I think they beat Ohio State too. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
So too. So yeah. All right. This has been some great stuff. We're gonna wrap it up with this. Let's give our final fours in the Big Ten, and then who we got winning all the way to the Big Ten tournament. Let's start with the semifinals, my friend. I'll start with you, Ked. Who do you got in the two games on Saturday? Who do you think will get to that point?
Oh gosh. I'm gonna say Illinois, and I don't even know who's on the bottom. Oh, gosh, I need to look at the thing. Illinois and I'm going to say Purdue.
Illinois and Purdue, okay. I got Illinois in the semis. I think they'll play Iowa again. And then I would have to say Purdue and Wisconsin. And then probably we get round three with Illinois and Purdue.
You think Wisconsin's – I mean, I'm just curious. I mean, do you think that they're going to advance? I'm not sold on them yet, but I'm just curious. I mean, do you think that Wisconsin is going to advance to the semifinal round?
Is Johnny Davis playing? that's where I'm at, I guess, because I don't know how – has the word came out that his injury could be bad?
He said he was playing today.
Okay, so he'll play on Friday. Yeah, if they got beat by they'll play. See, I got the home court advantage here for me, Ked, is I have the bracket pulled up on my phone. So they'll play the winner of Michigan State and Maryland. If they lost to Michigan State or Maryland, I would be shocked.
Really?
A little bit.
Davis, I remember hearing Andy Katz talk about Fats Davis. That guy is just a nightmare.
Oh, Fats Russell? Listen. Fats Russell?
Fats Russell.
He's tough.
I'll tell you right now, there's going to be some upsets. You know as well as I do. Where they're going to be, I think Wisconsin is the team. I just think they're the team out of all the teams that I think that could go down. I think Purdue's going to be on a mission. I know about Illinois. They want to be. They have all this talent. But I also talked about them being prepared for the next round of, their lives chapter with the NCAA. I don't know. I tell you what, somebody's going to knock them off. And I think Purdue is going to be hungry, and I think they're going to try to show people on a neutral court, if they shoot the ball well, I don't know.
Yeah, it could very well be. I wouldn't be shocked if it was Iowa-Purdue either, because you're right. With you talking about us looking for the NCAA tournament stuff, and Iowa will probably feel due against us, I wouldn't be shocked if it was Iowa-Purdue. And here's my thing with Purdue as well. You look at their, close game numbers, they've had some ridiculously bad luck in some of these close games. I saw some of their luck, you think of just the Wisconsin game and the Michigan State game alone. That's some tough sledding, man, in some, games that were one or two possessions. I know they had you think of probably their biggest game like that this year was on where they came out on the right side was when against Ohio State at home when they blew the church money against them, and then Jaden Ivey saved them, pulled them off the mat to close it out. But they've had some bad luck in some closer games. I feel like they'll be due to have some good variance luck on their side, at least for this weekend. Maybe right, yeah, Wisconsin, it's always dangerous to pick chalk, right? But I guess I just wouldn't be shocked. I guess I would just be more shocked if a team like Michigan State or Maryland would be able to pull off a game against those guys. You know, that's my thing. That's where I'm at for that little matchup.
But also, before you get to the next question, you're right. Like I said to you, every tournament it happens, and who knows? Illinois needs to, to either be, Indiana or Michigan. But like I said to you, Rutgers has always played them well. So I don't know. It's tough. That's a tough question.
I'm excited though for everything with this weekend with Big Ten, the Big Ten tournament, my man. This has been an absolute blast. I'm so glad that we got to do this. Real quick before we wrap things up, when we do get to the end here, I'm gonna stop it. But then I'm gonna ask you something off the air that if you wanted to stay, so make sure to stay on. But go ahead, have the floor, promote everything you're doing, man. Tell the world that is listening where to find you, what to do to support all the great stuff you guys are doing.
Well, I'm a busy man. You think, the younger you get, the older you get, you're supposed to slow down, but I'm getting busier. I work for a great company called IlliniGuys.com. I'm the recruiting director for football and basketball, and, it's a good situation for me to walk out and to watch games in this spring and summer. That's my goal, is to get out there and watch as many high school football and basketball players as possible. And, I'm a columnist for the Quad City Times and the Dispatch and Argus. And you can read everything and follow me on Twitter at KedPrince4 on Twitter. I'm a little different than a lot of media guys. I like to respond and interact with fans. And one of the reasons I do that is because I think, sometimes I think we, as media guys, we forget where we come from, and I'm not one of those guys. I remember when I was starting for information, I wanted to know stuff, and if people would respond respectfully, 9 times out of 10, if I don't miss it, I'm going to respond back. So I just, I really respect the fans from all schools, and, so if you want to chat, that's why you can get a hold of me at KedPrince4 on Twitter.
Yeah, man. I know we've had some good chats, and I know you're big, obviously, with being around here. Being from around the Quad City area, you've seen a lot of good stuff and good talent. Did you get to watch a lot of Big Six hoops this year?
I did not, but the one thing that I'm very, very disappointed with, and we'll have this conversation another time. Well, I'm very disappointed with a lot of schools with Mr. Harding at Moline. I think that kid is going to make a lot of people pay for not offering those major schools, because to me, you know, you talk about all those major schools who bite the major schools in the butt, that's going to be Mr. Brock Harding. I just think awful, because people criticize his size, and I think that's not fair to him. You know, truthfully, to be honest with you, he's the same size as Andre Cabello with a better jump shot.
Yep.
So I'm sorry, people can get mad. I did follow what he did, and I knew how good Rock Island was and those freshmen that Quincy has. So I didn't see a lot, but I read a lot about those kids. Excuse me.
Yeah, Moline was a team I covered for basketball this year, and there were some games, and some of the, I'm not going to name any names of people that work in the media and stuff here in the area that were saying, like, yeah, he's not special, et cetera, blah, blah. I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, what you, like, if you watch him and say something like that, like, I can just tell that you don't understand how to evaluate basketball talent. But
well, let me tell you a secret. I had a number of people say this to me, and I was going to call his father, because his father was my son's baseball coach when he was at Allman. A lot of people have said to me, and I will challenge anybody to argue this, if he played in Chicago, this would be different for him. I think people punish him because of his size, because the way he plays and scores, he's obviously going to compete with the best talent, to be honest with you. And I think if he was playing in Chicago and playing up there with those boys, people wouldn't be saying anything about his size and wouldn't be questioning him.
Yeah, no, you're not wrong. He gets a lot of flack, and I don't get it. You know, he's one. I covered two full seasons of Trey Buchanan. I got to watch, you know, I saw a few games of Joe Wieskamp at Muscatine. I saw Tyler Hall, guys like that. Deontay Billups, who just won Sixth Man of the Year in the Horizon League. Brock is one of the three best players I've ever covered at the high school level.
Yes.
So, I mean
it's weird, and like I said to you, but it only takes one. It takes one major guy to offer, and don't be surprised if Iowa pulls that trigger. I mean, I've heard rumors that they might, but if Iowa pulls the trigger, just like they did with the Murray boys, take it. You know, the Hardings may have one kid playing baseball in Illinois and one playing basketball in Iowa if that happens, but he is very, very talented.
Yeah, whoever gets him, they're going to have – yeah, whoever gets him, they're going to have a steal. And the other kid in the Big 6-2 that I'm interested to see is Longcore, that freshman. He's got some skill, and Jeremiah Talton's great. I think he just committed to New Orleans. Mm-hmm. Man, Brady Longcore is special. Like, he's got some stuff to him that I can't wait to see. I'm sure he's gonna have a lot of stuff too coming up over the years.
Oh yeah.
So, all right, man. This was an absolute blast. Thank you so much for doing this, man. For real. Can't wait to do it again soon.
Thanks for having me, buddy. I appreciate it.
How sick was that? Kedrick Prince, man, that was great. Again, follow all the stuff he's doing. Follow him at KedPrince4 on Twitter. Go to IlliniGuys.com for all of his great content and stuff like that. He is fantastic. Can't wait to have him on some more. So through the rest of the week, we're going to have Blake on later. We're going to record that tonight. He will be on. We are going to talk basketball, NBA stuff, AC tournament, and then probably do some conference championship stuff over the weekend. We'll see. A lot of the stuff that will be going on will be Facebook-wise. Probably do another Facebook Live selection show thing or something like that. So, yeah, fun stuff all around. Big shout-out again to Kedrick. That was great. We're putting out a lot of great content this week on the FFSQC sports, the FFSQC, podcast network. So many great things that we have been doing and we're going to continue to do. So keep a lookout for all of those things throughout the week to be able to listen and to follow and stuff of that nature. Again, big shout out to DJ Jarvis for putting that all together. He is the man. Shout out to Doug Green and everybody posting stuff for us, keeping it real as always. You know where to follow us. Find us at Joe the Show Winkle on Facebook, at Joe the Show QCSN, and Joe the Show 365 on Twitter. This has been the Educated Ignorance Podcast from the Game Room, where game was discussed. And remember, if you ain't got the game, you best pass the sticks. We will see you next time. Till then, peace out.